I was working on yesterday. And I want to read to you the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. Like I said, verse 1, we'll pick up there in a few moments. And a lot of times as a pastor, a preacher, at Christmas time, you try to seek it out. Brother Scott knows what I'm talking about because we have read the Christmas story so many times and we can only tell you so much about a babe in a manger. We can only tell you so much about wise men. Come on now. And I, one of the things that I try to do is not to be redundant nor repetitive, lest I bore you and you get out up in the middle of the service and walk out. I don't want to bore nobody today. Amen. That's the first thing that comes to the preacher's mind when people walks out. Two things. One, bathroom explosion. Number two is that preacher is boring. So I don't want to be boring to you. I want to keep you on the edge of your seat. Amen. I remembered when I was growing up and Pastor Dotson would preach, Sherry and I would sit to the right side of the pulpit. Man, the harder that man preached, the better I liked it. I mean, it just like, come on, somebody. And then Sherry and I, we ended up going to Georgia for a while, and we were pastoring in Waynesville, but we were going down there on a regular basis, and we were steadily being fed some good stuff from the pastor there, and he came back to me a long time later, and he said, I love it when you two show up. I didn't know what he was going to say. You're talking about a couple of thousand people in the building. He said, you sit there, and you listen to every word I say, and you're just like a sponge. And I thought, yes, that's me, because I want to learn as much as I can learn, and I want all that I can get. If I'm going to drive for about 4 hours to get here and 4 hours back, I sure enough want all I can get when I get here. Amen. We were driving way below Atlanta on the other side in Marietta, and we were doing that. We done it for a while, and I still have some memories of those events that we actually had the opportunity to go and to do that though several years ago. But today I want to preach to you, this is Jesus. There's a question in all of our hearts today at one point in our life. Maybe not so much here today, but when you first hear the gospel message, as you begin to grow up, some of these students in the room this morning, some of us that's been doing what we have been doing for many, many years, and we could tell you about Jesus and we could tell you who Jesus is. I said something to the Golden Club yesterday because Jesus came on the scene. We know how Jesus came, the angels, and we may get into that a little bit next week. But we know how the angels made the announcement of his miraculous birth. And I know in John 1 and 14 it says the Word was become flesh and dwelt among us. And we know all these scriptures, but when Jesus came on the scene, now think about this for a minute. Think about what a radical impact that was when Jesus came on the scene and we had the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We know what the Word of God says, but at that time, all of society in that time was either in some type of a fake religion and some type of religion that was a god of the Egyptians, etc., or they were following Judaism and they were the Jews. And all of a sudden, you have this announcement that the king is born. You were under Roman rule, but the king is born. And all of a sudden, everybody got to talking about this child growing up, this man by the name of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, and all of a sudden it just absolutely changed the dynamics of everything that was going on that they had ever learned at that time. And they began to take observation of Jesus and different things that began to happen in Jesus' life. There was a forerunner, his name was John. His name was John, John the Baptist. And John there, as John began to preach in the wilderness, we have the scripture about John the Baptist. And then John 2, in the scripture that I'm going to read to you, asked this very question. Let me read verse 1 down through about verse number 4 or so. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2, now when John had heard in the prison, John was in prison, and he said of the works of Christ, his disciples, he sent two of his disciples, and then in verse 3, and said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4. And then when we pick up in verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again, and these things which you do and hear and see. And then Jesus, verses 5 and following, Jesus goes and he says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Again, that's verifying scripture out of Luke chapter number 4, I believe it is, as well as the book of Isaiah. That was a verifying scripture that was verified there. But when I read the scripture there in verse number 3, I really picked up on that, because that's what this message is going to be framed around today. Because when John asked this question, I believe that John really did want to know of a fact that before I say another word, before I do anything else, I want to know for sure, is this the real Jesus? Amen? So this is why John questioned if this was really the Jesus. And this is the question that was asked there by John. And then he said, art thou he that should come? Do you know today that a watching world today is still questioning or asking that same question? They're still asking, is this the real Jesus? Is this the real deal, if you are, or if you will? Or do we look for another? The God that we serve today, as we begin to look, and again, I'm not going to get into this, but we begin to ask the questions throughout the scripture. Jesus, on many occasions, verified that it was really, really Him. Now again, when we talked to the Golden Club yesterday, we looked at this in the book of John chapter number 4, without taking the time to go all the way back through that again, the woman at the well, and she was there, and Jesus begins to give her a synopsis, if you will, in the worship service, and God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in truth. And then when we look through this woman at the well, as she was there, and she had an encounter with Jesus, one of the things I mentioned yesterday is simply found there in the scripture. And as Jesus was there, Jesus comes back and Jesus introduces Himself to this woman. And as Jesus is there introducing Himself to this woman, she was saying, we know that Messiah come. We don't know when He's coming, and we don't know how He's coming, but we do believe that He is coming. And I love what Jesus said there in the book of John chapter number 4. And you look in verse number 26. And I love this, because Jesus said to this woman who was searching, she knew Jacob's well, she knew Judaism, she knew all the law. But this is one of the most exciting things here. When Jesus looked back at her and Jesus said to her, that I that speaketh unto thee am He. I don't know what that does to you today. I don't know how that stirs you up today. But over the last several days, as I began to think about that, friend, the church today, when we think about Jesus verifying so many times throughout the scripture that He was the real deal, He was the real Jesus, amen, we ought to be the most excited people on earth, is to know that we know, in our knower, if you will, that we know the real Jesus today, amen, hallelujah, we know Him today, praise God. Again, when we think about the scripture and we see this throughout the Word of God, that this is Jesus. Jesus told this woman those very things. Jesus said this, I that speaketh unto thee am He. And then the Bible said, and came the disciples and marveled and talked with a woman. And this woman left her water pot, if you will. And she went out in and she told the whole city of this man by the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus, don't you? Oh, if there's anything the church needs to get back to celebrating, and this is not in my notes, I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here. If there's anything the church needs to do today, I'm telling you, we need to get compassionate. We need to get passionate about the name of Jesus. We need to get excited about the name of Jesus. We need to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody ought to be able to say the name Jesus, and you ought to go, whoop! Come on, somebody. You say you're getting a little carried away this morning. No, 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 no. His name is cursed. His name is stomped under the foot of the world. And His name is blasphemed every day on a daily basis. And my goodness gracious, if there's anything, and I'm just preaching right now, if there's anything the church needs to do, and that is to once again fall in love with Him and to be able to lift up the name that's above every name, to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior forevermore. But all throughout the Gospels, there are those that follow Jesus. They're all the way throughout. There are those that was trying to figure Him out. There are those that was trying to figure out, is this the real Jesus? When you begin to, again, look in John chapter 6, I've read this scripture many times before. And we look there in verse number 60, excuse me. And it says, many therefore of His disciples, when they heard this, said what Jesus had been preaching about in the earlier part of this message. They said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And then Jesus went on to say in verse 61, when Jesus knew it in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you? Verse 62, and He says here in the Word, and He says, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Verse 64 says, but there are some of you that believe not. Imagine that, Jesus right there in front of them, Jesus preaching to them, Jesus sharing the word of life with them. But Jesus said to them, there are some that believe not. And Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe not, and who they should, and who should betray Him. Jesus, again, talking of those that would depart. Not only those that would depart, but he zeroed in on the fact that Judas would betray Him. Now again, verse 65, and He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto Me except it were given unto him of the Father. Look at verse 66. This is a scripture that we've expounded on more than one time. And He says, if you look at that, He said, from that time, many of His disciples, students, pupils, those that was following Him, those that had seen Him, those that knew Him, those that knew that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God, when Jesus told them to count the cost, when Jesus told them, you will be offended, when Jesus told them, it's not going to be easy, when Jesus told them that you shall be despised and rejected of all men. The Bible said from that time, some of His very disciples went back and walked with Him no more. But this is Jesus. This is Jesus. I question in my own heart today as I look at a crowd of people and I stand in front of you and proclaim the Word of God. I just wonder in the depths of my very heart today that how many people in this room, you've got your mind made up, come heaven or hell, thick or thin. Oh, come no matter what comes your way, that you are going to serve the real and the true and the living Jesus. Come on, somebody. In verse number 66, it says again that from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Verse 67 and following says this, then Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? If the real Jesus is standing in front of you, if I'm the real deal, if I'm really who I say I am, are you going to walk away? Come on, church. If Jesus is the real Jesus in the day and the hour that we're living in, when the world is just going to the wayside, when the world seemingly is dropping and Christians are dropping, or people that attend church are dropping, And it seems like that everywhere you go and you look at the statistics and you look at this and you look at that, and it seems like, Sister Sandra, that everywhere I hear there's echoes and there's tremblings and there's voices that says that the church is wasting away, that the church is not going to make it. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The true church of the living God is going to put their hand to the plow, and we are going to make it. Hallelujah. If God be for me, then who or what can stand against me? Hallelujah. Will you also go away? If this is the real Jesus, if this is the real deal, if we're serving a true and a living God in this room today, where are you going to be in 5 years, 3 years, 2 years? Young people, where are you going to be in about 5 years from now? If you don't serve God now, you never know where you're going to be. And listen to an old man today. You need to get right now and stay right all throughout eternity. Get with it and stay with it. Get with it and stay with it. I'm telling you, there's so many forces in our world today. There's so many distractions in our world today. I don't want to sound preachy. I feel preachy today. But there's so many forces in our world today. There's so many things that you and I used to cling to and hold on to, and it seemed like that every since the early or the mid 80s and then into the 90s and into the 2000s, it just seems like there's just a slippage, and there's a slippage, and there's a slippage, and now there just seems to be no emphasis put on God. There seems to be no emphasis being put on the house of God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Don't get mad at the preacher. Amen. But there's so many again, even in the churches and Christian, and if you will, that people go and they say, well, you can have church in a coffee house. You can have a church in your neighbor's house. You can have a church here and a church there. And for years, the small groups, and I'm not against small groups, and we bought into that philosophy. But the problem is we shut down communication, and we shut down the unity of the body, and we no longer build that relationship. And now we don't care if we come to church or not. I like online. I got people online. But online's not like the same as being here. And one of the biggest things, the biggest challenges that's hit the church is just plain old everyday laziness. And we don't put a priority on God nor His house anymore. No, that was free. It's not in my notes nowhere. And Jesus looked at these disciples in verse number 67 says, will you also go away? If he's the real Jesus today, then Peter answered in 68. And I love what Peter said. And he says this. He said, and Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He called him Lord. He called him Lord. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. Now look at this. Look at this next verse. This ought to just flip your trigger today. Look at this. Peter talking with Jesus. And then he says this, and we believe and are sure. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And John went back and said, is this the real Jesus, or do we look for another? Peter came here and Peter was saying to Jesus, and Jesus again, he's asking this question, and he said, we believe, and he responded to Jesus, and he said, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How many of you today in this room will agree with me that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All throughout Scripture, there was those that believed. All throughout Scripture, it was always a question about whether Jesus was really who Jesus said he was. When they took him before Herod, Herod told him to go see Pilate. Pilate's wife was warned in a dream, don't touch him. Pilate came back before the people and washed his hands and released him back. And all the people that was crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, a week before, there was a question that says, what are we going to do with this one that is called Christ? As he stood on the platform to deliver that message to the people, all the people cried, cried, and cried, "Crucify, crucify." You know the Easter story when he could have delivered and he actually delivered the one that was a murderer instead of Jesus. And they said, "Crucify him." When a world don't know who Jesus is, Brother Bob, they'll just thumb their nose at the church and thumb their nose at Jesus. They'll thumb their nose at a preacher. They'll thumb their nose at you because they don't have no clue who this Jesus is. It's amazing to me how an atheist will fight the church. The atheist will fight the church. And they'll fight the very thing that they say, Brother Hardin, that they don't believe in. If they don't believe in it, go somewhere and sit down and shut up and leave the church alone. Did I say that online? Yes, I did. Just go on. Now I'm going to meddle for a minute. Oh, I don't even want to do it. I'm going to get myself in trouble. You got the keys in case I need to run, right? There's land. Okay, And don't get mad at the preacher, but I tell you what I was telling him out in the foyer a while ago. That for years, I was telling Brenda, for years, it's like you beg and you beg and you beg and you beg and you plead and you beg. Beg people, trying to get them to come to church, trying to get them to come to Jesus, trying to get them to get saved. And Dallas, you beg and you plead. And I'm going to be honest with you, you get tired. Now, don't get mad at what I'm getting ready to say because it ain't going to sound pretty. Sometimes it's almost as if you want to say, well, if you don't want to go to heaven, well, just go on to hell then. I mean, you feel that way in the human part of you. You know what I mean? In your flesh. And I know that's the way that it's not supposed to be. But think about it. I wonder how Jesus feels today. I wonder how Jesus feels today when they took him. They took him from Pilate's hall and they hung him on the cross. And I know that I sing the song every now and then. When he was on the cross, you was on his mind. But I love the scripture at the crucifixion in Matthew 27 and 37. I'm not going to take the time for the sake of time to read every bit of that. But this is the inscription, and this is what Pilate had put above, and Herod, what they had to put above the cross in verse 37. And it says that they set up over his head the accusation that is written. I love this. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. There was a declaration. It was declared among the people that this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Hallelujah. I don't know how that hit you today, but in a world that's still asking questions today, I just want to declare before the world that this Jesus that was declared by Peter, oh my friend, to whom shall we go? Now we are sure that you have the words of eternal life. And again, this same Jesus, and I don't have time to get into it, but you go read the Word of God where Jesus in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus went away, the Holy Spirit of God came down, and the angels that was there, they said these words in the book of Acts chapter 1, that this same Jesus that you see go away, hallelujah to God forevermore, this same Jesus, not another one, as John was asking, but this same Jesus that you see go away in the clouds. The Bible says that he so shall come again in the clouds of glory. I want to say to you today, I'm not looking for another Jesus. I'm looking for the same Jesus that 2,000 years ago that the angels declared, this same Jesus. Glory to the living God forevermore. This same Jesus that was taken up shall come again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God wanted us to know him so much that even at his birth, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, we know this in verse 21. This is what the Word of God declares before us when God was there. Matthew 1 and 21, he said this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins." I got to thinking about this Mary and Joseph thing, and I don't have time to really park the bus there. How the angel of God showed up, and Joseph, we've already went through all that. Joseph was shown in a dream, and Brother Scott done it in Sunday school, not to worry about it, not to fear it. Both of them had questions. Look in verse 21. 22, excuse me. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord and the prophet, saying, 23, he says, and you've looked at that, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. I'm so glad he came. I'm so glad he's here even now in the room. Jesus gave us this blessed promise. He gave us this blessed promise in the scripture when this young church began to preach about this Jesus. I don't have time to share every bit of it. I don't have time to go through all of it. But yet we look in the scripture and how that Peter preached this message after Pentecost. And Peter preached this message with the unction. And he told them that this was the Jesus of Nazareth that they crucified. But yet we read in the scripture of Peter's message. And I find this in just a really brief little section here. When he picks up in Acts 2 and 32. He says, this Jesus hath God raised up. This Jesus. Not another Jesus. But this Jesus. That was Peter's message. This same Jesus. That was taken from Pilate's hall. This same Jesus that was put in Joseph of Arimathea. And Nicodemus took him and put him in the tomb. This same Jesus when they let, Barabbas. They let Barabbas loose. They took Jesus and they put him on the cross. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus went to the cross. The Roman soldiers' nails didn't hold him there. The Roman soldiers, Jesus said, do you not know when they came and got him in Gethsemane? Do you not know that I can call more than 12 legions of angels right now? And they can come. Over 72,000 angels was there. Brother Jones at his beckoning call. All he had to do is rear back, rest on his elbows, if you will. Look up into the glory to the Father and say, sick 'em, boys. Come on, somebody. He did that for you, this same Jesus. Oh, Lord, if I didn't have to walk back, I'd run a lap or two. Same Jesus. Peter preached that message. Whoo! I'm just enjoying the sunshine right now. The S-O-N. Aren't you glad you can come to God's house and the Holy Ghost still shows up? God still shows up and God confirms His Word and God shows you something that you didn't know when you came in here. I pray that God confirm this same Jesus in your heart and my heart before we leave this room today. I ain't worried about eating dinner. I ain't worried about eating lunch. I ain't worried about going here and going there. I just want the glory of God to show up in this room. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now that I got my breath. Verse 33 says this, therefore being at the right hand of God exalted in heaven, received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he that shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Verse 34 again, Peter preaching this message, and Peter says, for David is not ascended. David's not ascended into the heavens. No. And he says, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Little prophecy from David there in verse 34. Look in 35, until I make my foes my footstools. Look in 36. He says, now therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The same Jesus. This is Jesus. That baby in the manger was this is Jesus. Jesus grew and Jesus lived a very a life of normality and a life of simplicity, if you will, according to the Jewish customs, even confounding the wise, the doctors, and those that was there at the temple at the age 12. Then Jesus returned and said, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business." Not much is known about his early adulthood. Not much is known at all. But for the last 3.5 years of his life, he revealed himself as the Son of God. Miracles and signs and wonders, salvations and healings, this same Jesus. And my friend, this same Jesus is coming again. When you begin, and I'm not going to take the time to turn there and read it all, but I do know the Bible says that this same Jesus, in a book of Philippians it is, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. When I began to think about this Jesus, this is Jesus, all the way throughout the scripture, and there would have been probably a 100 other scriptures that I could have pulled in together. But those were the ones that had encounters with him, and it was verified. This is him. This is the same Jesus. Oh, that God and humanity would come together again. Oh, that God and humanity would come together again. We've heard the fables. We've heard, "Here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail." We've heard the songs, "Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane." But how many, oh, glory to God, how many of you know that this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go? They thought they were going to get rid of this man by the name of John. They thought they were going to get rid of this man by the name of John, and they exiled him to this little island called Patmos. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7, we see that John was having a glorious encounter with this man by the name of Jesus. And we see that Jesus again, the Bible said, "Behold, he cometh in clouds." Folks, he's coming again. He's coming again, the Bible said. "And every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, all the kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him." And again, to reiterate, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. When you look further in the book of Revelation, we see this in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. John saw this Jesus. Oh, that the church could see this Jesus. Hear me, church. Oh, that the church could see him again. Listen, don't get mad at the preacher. It's too late in the service now. Please let us kick the end out of the rut. Let's kick the end out of the coffin. Let's kick the end out of the grave that we've been in for so long. We need to come alive, and we need to be an excited church. And some folks in this room, you may say, "Well, I believe in the reverence of the church, and I believe in the reverence of coming in. I believe in the quietness, and I believe in all that too." But I know, though, that Jesus said, "I am come that you have life." And if you're breathing, you need to let your body know that. If you're alive in your spirit, man, the only way that God would know that is through our worship. Can I just go ahead and preach for another 30 minutes? Just kidding. Hey, looky here. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to get excited about your Jesus. It's okay. You're not going to embarrass me. You're not going to scare me. I'd scare you before you'd scare me. Trust me, it's okay to have church. It's okay. Hey, I've calmed down a lot, trust me. I used to be, Julie, a whole lot more louder than I am right now. Brother Steve, I'd preach like a wild man, and I'd preach like a bull out of the gate. And when I got done preaching, I didn't even remember what I said. And I thought, well, my goodness, these people don't remember if I don't remember. You know what I'm saying? So I at least try to make a little bit of sense in what I'm preaching these days. This same Jesus. John saw him. What a revelation. John saw him. Church, when you get saved, you see him by the power of the Spirit. You can't get saved unless the Spirit of God draws you and gives you that revelation of Jesus. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost, equip you and empower you to do the work of the ministry. Two different things going on there. And he says that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Oh, he encountered Jesus, the true Jesus. He couldn't do anything but just, he fell at his feet as dead. And then he says, and he laid his right hand upon me saying, fear not. I love this verse of scripture because he says, fear not. And then he says, I am, I am, I am, I am, I'm him. I'm not another one. I'm not a counterfeit. I'm the real deal here. I'm the genuine. I love that, don't you? It's time for the church to get back. Come on, somebody, and worship the genuine Jesus, the real Jesus. Not what other people are saying and not what the most popular song's saying. And don't get mad at me for that, because I love good music and good songs and new songs and old songs and songs. It's all in there together. I love them all. As long as they glorify God and magnify God, I don't care what tempo. I don't care if it's an up song or a down song or a flat song. They're all a song. Come on, somebody. And all the choir people need to say amen right there. And he says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm the real deal. Look in this next verse. Verse 18 says this. I am he. I am. I am he that liveth. I am he that liveth in the little manger, baby Jesus. I am he. I'm alive. I grew. I came. I was alive. Then he says, and I was dead too. I was dead. They came to the tomb. They looked in. The angel of God on top of the tomb or the side of the tomb says these words, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, for he's alive. Jesus at Lazarus' tomb told Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection, I am the life. And he says to you and I today, though you were dead, you all shall live again. You will live because I live. And he said here, behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell. And in this, are keys of hell and death. And in this, we see that again that John had an encounter. And you can go all the way throughout the book of Revelation. The scripture that I read to you in the beginning. This woman at the well. I love this scripture back in John chapter 4. When you pick this up and you read John 4 and you read it all the way down through verse 30 down through there. And I'll find it too because I got to read it. He says these words as Jesus was there with that woman. I love this. Because this is the icing on the cake. Verse number 26. Again, Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. Look at this. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, why seekest thou? Or why talkest thou to her? Verse 28. Was the change and the results of the encounter with the real Jesus. You're not going to stay the same. You might come in contact with religion. You may come in contact with a religious person. But my friend, when you come in contact with Jesus, we used to sing the song. Brother Dotson, I remember him singing this years ago. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, depressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. I pray that I used to say these words, and I'm just sharing my heart. I used to say silly words, Sister Nelson. God, turn me upside down one way or another. Whatever you want to do, God, just do it. I used to say stuff like, God, whatever you want to do, just do it. Turn me upside down, roll me over, flip me upside, whatever. We used to put a lot more emphasis upon those things than we do now. I said, I'd never do nothing like that. Somebody says, we ain't seen a good holy roller in years. Let me tell you something. I thought most of that stuff was just a fad and stuff that people did for attention and stuff like that until it happened to me. You cannot tell another person what to do in their experience. I was at youth camp. I was young. I've told this. I wasn't planning on telling this. And Joel, what was Joel's last name? It don't matter. Huh? Joel Talley, preaching the youth camp. I was at the back of the tabernacle, only come to be there with my kids, wasn't working camp, didn't have anything to do with it. Didn't know Joel, he didn't know me. I know him now, but I didn't know him then. He looked at me at the back of that tabernacle. He said, how come you always think it's a person behind you? God had my number, Bob. And this is the truth. I took about 3 steps towards that man, and I hit the ground and rolled. I literally rolled down the center aisle, and it's an old concrete, busted up old concrete, slabby floor, rough as a cob. I rolled all the way down that thing. I mean, it's like God had me kicking me down that aisle. Just rolling, just right on down. And then I got down there at the end, right in front of God and everybody, started flopping like a fish. I mean, just uncontrollably flopping like a fish. And you think, that's just a bunch of mess right there. I pray God get you on one side and God get a hold of you, turn you upside down, flip you on your head. If he has to show you his real power, this real Jesus. Man, I tell you what, I'd never had an experience like that, Candace, in all of my life. I remember it, and that's been 25, 30 years ago, however many years it's been. And Brother West, God showed me he's still in control, not me. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the only time that ever happened to me. You too, huh? 64 years ago, rolled you down the center aisle and flopped you like a fish right in the middle of the floor at everybody. I'm going to tell you something, friend, it's real. You can make fun and talk about the preacher, but I pray that God will get a hold of you and convince you that this Jesus that we preach about is real. 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 Not to have some type of religious experience or an experience that was only brought on by your experience with your grandmother or your mother or your grandfather, whatever it was, as much as I love my granny. The evening I was at the Whittier Church of God, and my granny came and got underneath my arm, looking up at me and saying, son, did you get it? Did you get it? So that's what we used to say. Have you got it? Church of God, if you asked somebody in the Church of God years ago, Brother West, you know this, have you got it? And they'd say, oh, yeah. When did you get it? You know, they'd tell you about their experience with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anybody remember those days? My granny come up to me and she said, son, did you get it? I grabbed my granny, bless her heart, about as short as Sandra, underneath my arm. Me and my granny shouted and danced all over the front of that platform, all over the front. Took Nora years later and I said, Nora, this is the spot right here where God filled me with the Holy Ghost. On a Saturday night when Brother Ray H. Hughes was preaching the Word of God, I said, and it's still real today. Hallelujah, it's real, it's real, it's real. Stand on your feet today. My God in mercy, when you have a real encounter with Jesus, hey, you know that place, don't you, Miss Pierce, over there? You know that place well. How many of you in this room this morning know it's real? My God, I feel him in this room today. Glory to God. If you're in this room today and you've never experienced a new birth, don't miss this Christmas season without looking to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Young people, you as well. You'll stand before God and give an account of what you hear one of these days. And you need to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whole. Forgive me of all of my sins. Let's have an encounter with the real Jesus. The real Jesus. Not a substitute. Not a bottle. Not another snort. Not another toke. Because I'm going to tell you something, friend. The real Jesus. The real Jesus. Father, we love you today and we thank you, God. We thank you, God, that we can experience the real Jesus today. And God, I pray that by the power of the Spirit of God, the things you've laid in my heart today, yes, God, it's the very desire of my heart. God, let the glory of God move in this place. Let us not ever be ashamed of you, God. Let us not ever be ashamed of your power or your glory. Oh, God, you said if we'll be ashamed of you, you'll be ashamed of us. But if we confess you before men, that you'll confess us before the Father. So, God, we embrace your word today. Oh, mighty God, in the name of Jesus, anoint in this room tonight, God, anoint in this room today, God. Let the people of God experience the real and true and living Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're in the room, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you meet me in this altar? Would you meet me here today? I'm not going to hit you, poke you, prod you, throw anything on you or do anything to you, but I'm asking you to accept Jesus in your heart as your Lord and your Savior. Time's running out, Brother Cain. The clock is ticking. Time is running out. The day of the Lord is nigh. The day of the Lord is at hand. This could be the very, very day that Jesus come again. You say, preacher, I'm going to wait till next week. I'm going to wait till next month. I'm going to wait till after Christmas. Hey, I'm going to start the new year with Jesus. No, you need to do it today. You need to do it today. You need to do it today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Today is the day of salvation. Make your calling and your election sure. Know without a shadow of a doubt. In Jesus' name. Father, I've done my best. God, I've listened. I've tried to be sensitive. I've tried to listen with my heart and not just with my ears. And God, I pray that this church come to a new revelation of this Jesus that we preach about, this Jesus that we know about, this same Jesus. God, I pray that God, that we would just absolutely fall in love with this Jesus. No matter our age, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. And God, that everybody will be together in this wonderful place called heaven. Folks, whatever you do this Christmas season, be sure that you know without shadow of a doubt that you've asked Jesus in your heart. One of the biggest lies the devil ever told me, and I listened to it, was the devil told me when my children were little that they were too young to understand. The devil told me that my children were too young to understand and to wait till they got a little bit older. And when they got older, they could understand better and they would know better. I bought into that. Somehow or another, life just gets by, don't it? It's not that I've done anything bad to my kids or I didn't teach them. But it puts a new emphasis upon children today of learning and teaching children the ways of the cross. You say, well, they can get that when they're like 12 and 14 year old. No, they need to get that at 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year old. Father Young, thank you for sharing your time with me today and being here with us. And didn't the choir do a great job today? Amen. I know we can still have a good choir, but it takes a lot of people getting involved and working hard for it. Janet, wave at me. Janet's right there. Sandra's right here. These ladies can help you with the widow's dinner on Tuesday at 11. Widows and widowers. And somebody says, I ain't coming because I ain't looking for a wife or I ain't looking for a husband. Now let me just set you down 30 more minutes and explain something to you. That's not what we're doing that for. We're doing that so you'll be blessed.